Well, hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of the 5 P's, the final one. This has been an amazing class this week. I think it's been really, really exciting with some great information being shared. What do you think, you guys who are listening, George, Mary, have you been valuable for you?
Yes.
What do you think is your biggest takeaway so far from it?
Only one?
Okay,
yeah, that's exactly what I was saying, George.
All right, so give me a couple of takeaways that you've had from it.
Well, Lynn's session yesterday was really good for me because I've been forcing myself to think of what to sell from the get-go, and I think there's value, extreme value, in what she said about building a relationship first.
That's funny.
And then working on the sales.
Sri Gontufar, who is our poetry guy, said the same thing, and he's already got 25,000 Twitter followers and 55,000 Facebook friends and followers. So, Mary, what about for you?
Well, I really loved Morgana Ray's talk today, and when she talked about the monster and then the inner monster and then the money monster, excuse me, and then the money honey. I really loved what she had to say.
I know. I just got off the phone with her. We had a little talk afterwards about, because hers is really based in mythology, a lot like my wind stuff. And it turns out she has she has studied mythology and philosophy and religion. So we're really closely aligned. You know, I'm personifying the winds in my work, and she's personified a few other energies. Mine is a little bit more, what is that energy today? And hers is more, and this is without reading her stuff yet, but I probably will, you know, get in on it a little bit, is, you know, identifying that piece. And it's, what's interesting is yesterday I was also using that piece in some of my own personal work. Sri, did you get back?
Hello?
All right, you're back here? All right, I'm going to get going on the introductions and everything like that, and thank you, Mary and George.
You're welcome.
So, Sri, you still with me?
Last time I checked, I was still here.
Oh, good. Well, welcome a little bit more formally now to the 5 P's for Socialpreneurs. And this is the last class in this series, but I really think we're onto something really valuable about these P's. And we started earlier with the program with passion. And I'm still kind of blown away that the passion talk went to clarity and meditation. And I didn't know that it was going there, so it's always a great surprise. And then we went on to purpose with a master of ceremonies, Gail Larson, whose real speaking is one of the most incredible programs I've ever taken. Then we further went along into platform, where everyone was really kind of like, oh my God, am I ever going to get all of this information from Lynn Serafin yesterday, who is the new author of Tweetalicious and the 7 Graces of Marketing. Then to this morning, if we haven't been, you know, going, we got into prosperity with Morgana Ray, who I had an in-depth talk with her philosophy and mythology, and we learned about the money monster and the money honey, and I'm sure we're all going to take home and go find out what our money gang, mine's a money gangster, looks like. Now this afternoon, and in the center of my own Tools for Awakening wheel, we're going to be talking about poetry. And poetry for me is about creation. It's about creation energy that sparks forth that life of everything else we do. And my name is Renee Barbo, and I'm the practical shaman. And why I think I'm so practical is I take poetry and I apply it to my business and to my cooking and to everything else in life that feeds me. So there's this theory from Peru that if it doesn't grow corn, there's no point of doing it. And we've been looking all week at what does feed us as socialpreneurs. What is it that ignites that spark in us that we get up every day and go forward in this world to create beauty and to leave an authentic footprint wherever we go? And I've been doing this class because I'm launching a series called Creating Your Authentic Business Footprint, and I also do a coaching group where I help people create these visions and then take them on out to the world. And I want to say right up front, because my program keeps getting buried somewhere in our delicious conversations, but that I'm offering a free consultation with me if you have interest in taking this course, so that we can find out if indeed my work is a good fit for you. And you can reach me over renee@thepracticalshaman.com. This afternoon, I'm really honored. I met Sri Gone Too Far and that Next Top Author Competition, or as we called it, the Next Top Author Cooperation. And he is the author of Love's True Home, and he is a self-described supersonic love tonic. Drink that. A philosophical word comic raining down from the sky. Don't expect long, drawn-out explanation or dry intellectual ramblings. Sri Gone's unique blend of irreverent humor, timeless wisdom, insightful prose, and eloquent romantic poetry speaks directly to every heart. Sri Gone says, "There are many different ways to look at humans. I look beyond the face and behold the sweet grace glowing in each and every heart." Today we're going to have more of an interactive dialogue, and we may even invite some of you who are listening to participate, because he would like that. And I'm fortunate to work with Sri Gone Too Far on a more regular basis, because he also works with me taking my words and making them into poetry as well. So I'm really honored to have you here this afternoon, and welcome.
Well, thank you very much, Renee. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Well, you're just such a delight. You keep life light, and I think that as business owners and socialpreneurs, that so many of us take our life way, way too serious. So what is your antidote for that?
Well, thank you for saying that. I appreciate it. You know, first of all, in response to what you just said, what I've learned is that every time we are inspired by somebody, or we're uplifted or encouraged in some way, or we say, like you just said, "Oh, you're such light," all we're really seeing is just a reflection of ourselves. And that's the way that I think the spiritual energy works. Whenever we recognize something in another person that is of a high, more noble quality, it's just reflecting what's inside ourselves. We're getting a glimpse into our true nature.
Oh, that's really nice. So, but what happens when we meet somebody who we're not resonating with so much? So, you know, we get a little bit of that's inside of ourselves too?
Well, not necessarily. I think, you know, we all have our boundaries. We all have our places where we draw the line. And if we encounter somebody that we don't resonate with, or there's a bad vibration, I think the thing to do is to wish them the very best in a goodwill kind of way, and then move on. And we don't necessarily have to engage with that person. We don't have to think negative thoughts of them. We just wish them the best and move on.
Also, it's just as we get lighter, we learn to take these situations and move through them quicker.
I think we learn from our experience. Once we start to see our own spiritual nature, once we start to recognize our own gifts, I think we start to recognize them more in other people. It takes it's a gradual process, and it takes a while, because most human beings are ingrained in our habits of worry and negative thinking and, you know, and frustration. So we tend to take these problems that we have and throw them out at other people. But over time, with practice, we can, by just catching ourselves before we get into these negative states, and just changing our thoughts and our feelings and trying to look at it in a different way. And over time, we can replace that habit of reacting in that way into a more loving way. It works for me.
And so how do you take that into your business world?
Well, I don't really take it into my business world, because the way that I am, I've learned along the way that, you know, as a young boy, maybe I'll give you a quick history of my life to give you an idea of how things can change in a person's life, if you don't mind.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay, well, along the way, you know, in my life, and it was filled with chaos and problems like everybody else. And I'm certainly not whining because everybody has challenges and problems, but I'm merely going to give you this little story just to give you an idea of how we learn along the way in spite of all our challenges. I started off, you know, I'll start off with one of my handmade jokes. When I was back in the 60s, which is when I was born, actually I was born in the 50s, but in the 50s and 60s, when a baby was born, there was usually an attending physician, and you know, to help the mother give birth, and the doctor would pull the baby out and hold it up by its feet and slap it on its fanny. Back then, it was believed that it would clear the baby's breathing passages. Well, when I was born, the doctor held me up in front of my mother, in front of my dad, and looked at me and looked at them, and instead of slapping me, he slapped them instead. So from the day that I was born, I was presented with some challenges and opportunities to deal with them. And I don't remember the first few years of my life. More or less, my memories begin in school. I was raised a Catholic, and for me, it was at the time, it seemed like a terrible life to be born into, but it taught me a lot along the way. Immediately, I resented the authority. I resented what I was being told, that if I was bad, as an example, I'd go to hell, or I was born with original sin because Adam and Eve had sinned in the past, and there's all these seemingly threats. If I didn't behave, I would go to hell, and if I didn't get baptized, my friends would go to hell, I would go to hell. It just went on and on. But at the same time, while I was resisting this authority and all this corporeal punishment, I became aware that there was something greater than myself. I had an inkling that there was a greater force. I didn't know what it was, because when you're young, you don't really know what you're rebelling against. But at the same time, I became a rebel. I was an angry young boy. I didn't get along with my dad, and I resented authority. I was always getting in trouble in school. But at the same time that I was doing all that, I did have a gift which I didn't realize at the time. And the gift that I have was the use of words to create situations. And because I was angry back then and really in a lot of pain, I used my words as weapon through ridicule. You know, just I was a bully in school. I was a real mean character. And at the same time, I had a sense of humor that enabled me, some people, to like me. So this went on and on and on and on. But what I would do when I went home, because I didn't get along with my dad, I would read. I'd stay up all night long. I'd read a book a night. I was reading everything from science, fantasy. I studied all the religions, the philosophies, the mysticisms. I read all the classics. And as I was absorbing and compartmentalizing all this information, I was building up an inventory of information that would really benefit me later on in life. So I escaped by reading. And at some point, you know, I was forced to go to Sunday school. And even in Sunday school, I was so frustrated from the threats and from what I believed to be lies that I would come up with questions for the Sunday school teachers that would actually confuse them. As an example, I'd say, well, okay, you tell me that Adam and Eve were the first man and woman and they had a son and Cain slew Abel. Well, how the heck did we end up with all these people with only one son and all these different races? You know, we have the Chinese, we've got the Orientals, we've got North Americans, we've got Native people. How did we end up with that? So they got really frustrated and kicked me out of Sunday school. And I was heck. I was a problem at home. And it reached the point where one day my mother, who I love dearly, came to me and said, look, your dad said either you go or he goes. So at the age of 15, I left home and went out onto the streets where I became even angrier, more resentful. I was a drug addict. I was a thief. I was just a bully. It just went on and on and on and on. And finally, faced with the possibility of going to jail for a long time, I ran away and went into the United States with these big ideas in my mind that I was going to discover the world. And this was back in 1969, 1970, when the Vietnamese War was on and the peace moratorium was on in Washington, D.C. And I thought, okay, I'm going to go to Washington and learn about peace. And if you've ever seen Forrest Gump, I was there for all those events that happened at the peace moratorium. Then I ended up going to the States, hitchhiking across down to Florida, where I got kicked out. And I ended up, to make a long story short, in California when Ronald Reagan was governor. And I got in all kinds of trouble there and escaped back to Canada. About a year later, once again, I was on the streets dealing drugs. on the verge of going to jail again for my heinous acts. Well, not heinous, but, you know, criminal acts. So I escaped this time to British Columbia, where I continued to get in trouble. At one point, I was a regional manager for a huge company on the west coast of Vancouver Island, and I got in trouble there. So I escaped for the last time in my life. I came out to Nelson, D.C., which is where I live now, and still had problems, still had drug problems, still had all kinds of insecurities and fears and anger just welling up within me. And then one day, this is where things totally changed. I got an email saying that my neighbor had been involved in a tragic skiing accident. She was a beautiful woman who was well known around here. She was into natural foods, and she used to teach yoga teachers how to become yoga teachers. She was just an incredibly dynamic person. And in a freak accident, she was skiing down a hill and flipped up over a mogul, did a couple of somersaults in the air, landed on her neck, and her spine popped out of her back. She became an instant quadriplegic. And at that moment, I don't know what it was at the time, my entire life changed. I had a very successful business back then. I was doing effects, video effects for various movies or movie producers out of Whistler, Vancouver-based movies. I gave up everything that I was doing. Spirit entered me into my heart, and I became possessed. Well, 6 weeks later, we had assembled the most incredible group of people in this area where they had donated beautiful art. It was an extravaganza in a very elegant setting, and we raised $40,000 for her in one day. And I remember that day, I just kind of woke up from 8 weeks of being possessed and driven to do this. And as I looked out onto the group there at the hall where we were hosting this event, I saw people hugging. I saw people who hadn't spoken to each other in years, forgiving each other. And I realized, oh my God, Spirit used me as a vehicle to become the fulcrum for all this incredible loving energy. I could see that in the heart of every single being, there shined the golden sun. And I realized, wow, I didn't know that if I surrendered or if I just allowed Spirit to guide me, so many beautiful things could pass through me and not only inspire me, but inspire others and reach out further into society. So that was where my life really changed. And at that point, my gift with words took a dramatic change. It was unexpected. One day I just logged on to Facebook. I'd had an account for about a year. I wasn't really paying much attention. And I realized, wait a second here. This is like being in a room with millions of people, and whatever anybody is thinking or feeling at any given moment, their likes, their dislikes, the movies that they're crazy about, someone who's hurt them or something to complain about, everybody was just emoting. And I thought, wow, you know what? There's a lot of people here who are having a hard time in their life. I could just see it. I could feel it. It was everywhere. So Spirit said, well, you've got a way with words. Say something to these people. Give them some encouragement. Write a piece of poetry. Compliment them. Give them some hope. Write something that will inspire them or make them laugh or take their mind off some of their everyday problems for a moment. So I started doing that, and I couldn't believe the response. After doing this for about 3 months, people were saying, look, why don't you take these beautiful poetic expressions and these thought-provoking passages and put them into a book? And I said, okay. 3 months later, I published an entire book. And that's how it started. That's where my life
started. But you also, I know, you have done some business, too.
Well, this is what I'm getting to now. Now that I've told
you that. I know that, and that's what you do for love, and you have quite a big following at this point, right?
Yes, I do. So here's what happens. For me, there is no difference for me between business and my personal private life, because I have realized that I have a gift, and now I use it. So I'm actually doing what I love to do, so it's not considered to be work for me. But while I am working, even though I don't think I am, I've realized a few things. First of all, that if we look for the best in somebody else, let's say we're talking about a client or even somebody who works at a business, as an example, sometimes when I go grocery shopping, I'll notice that, you know, being a cashier, now that's a heck of a tough job, being standing there all day long, having to deal with all these different personalities. So when my turn comes up to talk to the cashier, I'll usually create a little joke on the spot and liven them up. You know, she'll start laughing, and I'll look down the line, and the people behind me, they start laughing. So I've realized that if you're dealing with people on a business level, if you actually listen to what they say, and if you really recognize them for what they are as beautiful spiritual beings, they respond to that. You know, I genuinely compliment people. I smile, and I really pay attention to them. And people respond because, you know, when it comes to products and services, we have merchants and we have consumers. But behind all that, we have individual spiritual beings who, I think in the optimal situation, not only want to sell something or buy something, but they want to get some deep intrinsic value from the exchange. And it gets down to really caring for other people and trying to be of service to them. Even as a consumer, we can have an enormous effect on a company by letting them know that we like their products, by giving them some feedback, or by just having a nice, happy attitude when we walk into the business. So there's this sort of blending and flowing of energy between merchants and consumers, products and services all the time.
And I think that is definitely a lot of the message that we've been hearing, is that we can create all we want in this material world, but that until we align that with our spirit, we're really like lead in the water, right? Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes, I think that everybody probably likes to be appreciated, admired, and respected, you know, listened to. And when it's genuine, I think the sales pitch or the buying dynamics take on a whole different personality and a different flavor.
And so how do you – so tell us about that.
Well,
like to shop from?
Who do I like to shop from? Oh, I always – like I'm definitely – I'm a patron. And because I've been living in my town for a long, long time, I tend to know all the managers. So I've always noticed if you have as an example, I shop at a local grocery store. It's called Save On Foods here. The manager, you can just tell he's friendly, he's genuine, he's good-natured, he really pays attention. And then you look down the line of all the people that work there. Everybody's in a good mood. They really pay attention to the customers. They're always friendly. And it just makes the whole shopping experience, it almost makes the product secondary, because you're getting treated so genuinely in a loving way, in a kind way, and it spreads. You know, if someone is nice to you and you're nice to them, that carries on to the next person. It creates an air of peace and trust and joy.
Let's talk about service for a minute. Last night I went to a Wolfgang Puck open locally, and I went there, and the waitress came by and said, "That's delicious, isn't it?" And she ran off before I could say, "No, this is really bad." And so I wrote to the company, and mostly these days you get, I've noticed that you get these messages back from people that say, "Oh, I'm sorry," but there's like no accountability for any responsibility of making it better. And I know, like, if somebody's unhappy with something in my business, you know, I bend over backwards to make it right. But last night, they invited me back to this restaurant, and they waited on us hand and foot, and even noticed I put a jacket on and turned the heat, you know, the air conditioning down. I mean, I think that kind of attention goes a long, long way. I mean, I'll go back to that restaurant now.
Definitely. That makes a lot of sense. I'm the same way.
Do you do that the same way with your – do you find those ever –
It really depends. Like in the situation that you just described, for me, if I would have been there, I would have sort of, you know, looked over the big picture and the situation, and I might have just taken her aside and talked to her, because sometimes, you know, being a waitress can be a very demanding job, and a lot of people don't appreciate waitresses. They treat them like almost like slaves, and it's very difficult for a waitress to keep her head up and to be in a very good mood and cheerful all the time when it's not being returned. So it's a two-way street. But sometimes, because of their public position, it's better to take somebody aside and talk and say, "You know what, blah, 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 the food wasn't that good. Maybe you could mention it to the cook." And sometimes that has a way of also getting good results.
Yeah, but I wouldn't have gotten a dinner to take my friend to. I mean,
there you go. But, you know, you have to wonder in that situation where they finally recognize what you had to say, if they're just applying it to you, or if they've actually had a change in consciousness and decide, you know, this is a better way to run a store, and we should do our best to try and treat all our customers with respect.
And, you know, sometimes you have to stop yourself, too. I know, you know, we know that we're sometimes impatient, you know, and that we want service a certain way. How does this creation energy move into, how can people take this with them into their businesses, do you think? You know, how can this information of adding poetry be applied to someone's business?
Well, because it's a matter of grace. It's a matter of elegance. It's a matter of how the way that we view ourselves, I believe, is going to be reflected in how we present our products and our services. And instead of sales pitches, if we really have good intention, and if we really think that the services and products that we are presenting to the world are going to make the world a better place, instead of just whatever it is, you know how it is today. Everybody's trying to sell something. A lot of people are trying to sell whatever just for the sake of selling it. There's no real quality in the delivery and in the preparation of the whole thing itself. I believe that it will be reflected in the products and services if we are genuinely trying to do something good. It has to do with building a relationship. Even on the spot with a new customer, you actually build up a relationship of trust very quickly by being honest and by being kind in the way you deliver your words and how you express your feelings.
So what does it look like when you lose your patience?
Well, you know, that you say the five P's of socialpreneurs. Well, there's one more, and it is patience. That's the sixth one for sure. That's one of my lesser qualities, is impatience, and I definitely have it, and it pops up, and I have to catch myself. And impatience is a manifestation of anger. So what I'm learning to do is catch myself, first of all. I didn't realize till lately that every time I'm impatient with somebody, I'm actually hurting them, because I'm expecting them to be like me, and I'm saying, you know, I'm better than you, do it my way. At least that's the way my patience manifests. So it's just, like I was saying before, impatience, anger is a habit with me, and I'm just learning to catch myself as it starts to be expressed and stop it and replace it with a kind thought. And over time, it becomes easier, and I develop more patience.
Well, we know that I can try your patience, because I'm good at that. I mean, one thing that we've learned to do is we've been building a really beautiful communication between us about how two people who are very, very different can work together. I think that would be an interesting thing to talk about here, is how two people who are very, very different can come together, meet in the middle, because I think all of us in our businesses have to get work done, and generally nobody's like us, no one's going to do it the way that we do it, so we kind of have to find a way to work with other people. So what are some of your love poems for that?
A love poem for patience?
Yeah, for learning to work with people who are absolutely different than you.
Well, I have a little passage, it's not very poetic, it goes like this. What is difficult for one is easy for another. We have unique experiences with different lessons to learn, and we progress at our own pace. Awareness of this is how we develop patience, respect, and compassion for others, and also for ourselves.
That's nice.
Well, you know how it is. I mean, as an example, you're talking about the relationship you and I have. I mean, you and I are both high energy, you know, high metabolism people, and quite often, people like us tend to think or expect other people to move at the same pace or to learn things the same way. And I used to be that way. And I would say, what's going on? You know, I used to get angry. And then I realized, well, wait a second. It might be easy for me, but it could be tough as heck for that person. I've got to just pull back and allow them to learn and progress at their own pace. And in doing so, I recognize other qualities. This thing about being impatient and angry with people, it creates a cloud, and it filters out all the other incredible qualities, positive traits that a person might have. So that's what happens, you know?
Yeah, and I think one of the things that we're good about is that we can get on the Skype and work it out. And I find that in business, there's nothing more valuable than somebody who will get there and work it through with you a little bit, because I think that that's a... that's an important quality. We're talking to people that we always think that they've got so much similarities, but people really interpret their information differently. Some people, you know, are kinesthetic learners. Some people are auditory, sensual, you know, and so poetry is just one aspect of how people get a response. But I think that everybody likes to be told they're doing something right.
Yes, and for myself, you know, I like to celebrate the differences. I think that differences is a good thing to have because it means that when we just talk about similarities and things that we can share, that's also true. But when you look at our differences, there's other things that we can learn from each other because we don't have them in common. So in a really trusting relationship, as an example, you know, you have a customer come into your store and if you're really a good manager or a good salesperson, you take an interest in that person. Then it becomes an actual conversation. It becomes a two-way exchange of ideas and feelings. And both people benefit.
And what do you think? I read something great this morning on Twitter where somebody said, improve your social media, call somebody on the phone. Well, do you think we've become so attached to our computers that we're missing this essence in our business of actually connecting with people? Or what do you think about that?
I think we're in a transition period in terms of that. You know, the next generation, they won't even know what a phone was in terms of the old type dialing phones and stuff like that. My attitude is this, is that I believe that spirit, because everything that I do is based on spiritual ideas, I do my best anyway to try and keep them in mind. I believe that spirit needs willing, conscious channels, you know, to spread love, to spread good ideas and to a better life of humanity. And that spirit will use whatever channel is available. And that includes computers, cell phones, tablets, it's all the same. When you break life down into its most basic elements, we're talking about molecules and energy, and I've shared love and good feelings with people all the time. I do it every day on Facebook, and they're genuine feelings that are exchanged across Facebook, as an example.
So, yes, I think I've met people, too, that I've had real connections with over the Internet, but do you think that it's really going to replace our face-to-face?
I think in future generations, it is going to change to a great degree. It already is. I mean, we're just, you know, the Internet's only been around, 25 years or something. And today's generation, as an example, my son and his wife, my daughter-in-law, had a child about a year and a half ago. And that child, on its own, is going to they have to hide their iPhone. That child picks up the iPhone and can already use it, and she's 18 months old. So it's already being built into our DNA, into our genetics right now. And in a couple of generations, it's going to be a totally electronic culture. We're just going to have to – it's hard for people of our age in this culture to sort of say, what's going on? And, you know, everybody's so disconnected. There's no more social contact. People aren't developing any social skills, you know, face-to-face confrontations to learn how to solve problems. But – It is going in that direction. It's up to us to tap into it. In some schools, I noticed in the state, they have some pilot projects where, because kids are always wanting to text and use their cell phones in class, they decided the heck with it. They brought the cell phones right into the classroom, and they're using them as devices to reach children and as teaching tools, and it's working.
Really? Like, what? They're actually using the cell phone to answer questions and...
To answer questions, to do research, to share ideas, to express themselves amongst, you know, together, because the kids are using them, and that's just this generation. So you can imagine what the next generation will be doing.
Wow. So that leaves, in terms of a business model, that leaves us wide open for where we could go. I mean, because you really are saying that you have made, you know, really relationships first on your thing. And I know like Mari Smith will make a comment and get, you know, 200 comments back on it. What about you? When you say something, you know, do people respond? Do you get a lot of feedback, or how's it work for you when what's your engagement rates?
Oh yeah, I get lots of feedback right now. And I have 5 Facebook accounts and 17 pages, I believe. And I was just checking my one Sweet Gone Too Far fan page, and I'm getting about 30,000 people a week responding and engaging in my posts on the one page alone. So, and it's not just like, it's people actually expressing their points of view and engaging in conversations and sharing ideas and discussing various things. It's very real and totally engaged, and it certainly is not diminished in any way because it's happening on Facebook.
Now, and I want everyone listening, because we're talking about business, one of the things you just heard him say was that he knows his engagement rates, which means, as besides for being an online poet with, you know, all kinds of followers, he's looking at what is this doing, how am I tracking. And I just went over to his Facebook page, and he has 15,000, almost 16,000 likes here, and, you know, quite a big engagement rate too, you know, on any given day. Today, over 1,500 people are talking about it. So that, knowing what is happening, you can. So what I'm saying is that you're offering us both. You're offering us love and poems and a good solid knowledge about business. And I know you and I have had a similar business where you created like a holistic type of referral, a business networking site as well, right?
Uh-huh.
And so.
Just in the process now of launching a website I've been working on for a year. It's a community website. It's, like I said, I live in this beautiful little hamlet town of Nelson, British Columbia, and I've assembled all the elements in our community and going out maybe 100-mile radius around our community, and it's got 2,000 listings. It's going to have about 15 columnists, and it's got about 200 videos, and it's got engagement. And what I'm doing is I have this another gift of being able to assemble parts and pieces and create my own system that actually engages the community to contribute, to share information, and to spread the good news around. So it's a matter of looking for the best in any situation, be it a product, a service, a customer, an idea, a new venture, looking for the best in it and deciding how is it that I can utilize what I love to do and inject it into this idea so that it'll affect everybody in a positive way, so that it truly will be not only inspirational, but will benefit somebody or large groups of people. It's all about people getting some real benefit that makes them, that improves the quality of their life and inspires them to share that inspiration and inspire others.
Well, I think that's really great. And is that going to be a business that's going to be monetized as well?
Yes. I did one several years ago as an experiment, and it was getting incredible traffic, huge business support and community support, and was generating very good revenue for me. And it was so satisfying to see that so many people were benefiting from it.
That's interesting, because I also did one, and it got to be really like pulling teeth. So there must be a shift in that perception of how you were holding it differently than I was holding it.
That's right, because in this particular situation, I wasn't trying to sell anything at all. I was creating a dynamic website that had so much content and just delved so deeply into all the businesses and nonprofit groups and musicians and artists and creative types. It delved in some of them in a way that people would just wanted to be part of it and wanted to contribute and felt like they were part of it. So the monetary results were a consequence of my efforts. I wasn't even trying to make money when I started. It just happened on its own.
And that's funny, because I know that we have a guy in one of my accountability groups who just decided he was always trying to monetize things. So he decided he was going to retire, but now he wants to create a blog site that has that kind of a feel where he can provide people with useful information. And that sounds like a similar kind of heart-based generated idea. I think the two of you should talk.
Quite possibly. You know, it all boils down to, in my opinion, it's our imagination. We have a gift, all of us. We have one gift that is in common. Although we have lots of gifts that are quite different, we have one in common, and it is called our divine imagination. And as human beings, you know, it's very easy to forget our divine imagination, and we tend to use it in a negative way by worrying, by being frustrated, by being resentful or vengeful. It just goes on and on and on. And we can, over time, use our divine imagination in a way that takes these negative attitudes and feelings and convert them into positive positive ones that benefit ourselves and everybody else. We just have to practice, because worry and all those kinds of things are just habits, and it's hard to escape them because the news media is always just buffeting us with these pictures of distrust and war and famine, and it just goes on and on and on. So it's not easy being a human, but you know what? Somebody's got to do it, so it might as well be us.
Well, there you go. There's an approach for it, sure. Then tell me a little bit more about how you built up your Facebook following.
Well, it just built up on its own.
You know, people at home, they're like, but I'm having to build it, so tell me, how do I build this?
Well, it goes back to this idea that, like I said, in my early days, I used my gift of talking and speaking and humor in a very negative, destructive, bullyish ways, and then I just transform those traits into a way that enabled my words and humor to actually uplift people instead of hurting them. So that's what was happening on Facebook. I was driven. When I was writing my book, I'd say it was 16 hours a day, every day, 7 days a week for 3 months. I could not stop writing. So, you know, it's one thing to have an idea and to go for it. And no matter what, you know, tenacity kicks in, you just stick to it. No matter what, you're going to succeed. You're going to complete this project. Well, for me, I had no choice. I didn't even start out to write the book. I realized that Love's True Home was writing me. So I surrendered. And I became Spirit's pen, and at that point, it just flowed out of me, and it still does to this day. I write every single day. And because I was just putting out these ideas, people were just naturally responding and sharing and telling their friends, and they wanted to be involved, and it just kind of grew on its own out of love.
Well, you've done some promotion, too. I mean, I've been tagged in your picture before.
Yeah.
So talk about a little bit about how you keep in the forefront of this, so that somebody wanting to do something really good but build at the same time, give them a few tips.
Well, I think we're talking strictly business now. Like, I didn't go on Facebook to promote a product or business. I do, but that's not why my followers are building. But if you have a product or a service or an idea that you truly believe in and you want to promote it on Facebook or Twitter or any other social media, and you want it to reach people so that they take notice and are inspired and respond in a way that you would deem to be what you want, then you have to say things in a kind way. Because everybody's got the old sales pitch, you know, here's a free gift, 1,000 ways to do this, the secret to that, the secret to this, it just goes on and on. So you have to speak from your heart and use your mind to express yourself in a way that's going to work. So you might, let's say you're trying to sell something that you've invented or a product that you believe is really going to help somebody. You just take a few graceful lines and make them elegant, and with a few words, express something about that product that speaks more about what it is. It speaks more about what it can do and how it's beneficial. So you use grace, elegance, a bit of rhyme maybe sometimes, just a few words to engage people, inspire them. You have to speak to their heart, I think.
And give us some of those words that you think are, because you're always changing my words around, because I tend to write like boom, 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 and then you go in and you change them up. So tell me some inspiring quotes that people, that you find enticing for you.
That I find enticing?
That you would use to entice someone. So what is that poetry to lure?
I read, well, just how about this? Dance in the rain and don't worry about the storm. When your heart is fully open, life is always warm. Just these ideas of no matter what problems you have, just don't let them get the best of you. Just open up your heart and put your faith in Spirit and everything will be fine. Or, you know, here's one. Inspiration. For me, it's about inspiration. If you truly have something you believe in, you are inspired. You become consumed by that idea. You become that idea and you share that idea with passion, with love, and with honesty. Inspiration is a magic elevator in your heart. What floor are you on? Or have you already blown the roof off your mind and set yourself free? You know, most people tend to pursue goals that other people have deemed to be worthwhile. I say forget that crap. Whatever goal it is you have, pursue it because you believe in it, not because you think it's what's going to make you successful. Go with what you believe in. Go with your passion. Forget what anybody else says. Just do it your own way. But do it honestly. You know, I think it'll all work out fine.
I love this, what you have on your wall today that says your non-belief is something, your non-belief in something is proof that it exists.
Yes, I know that to be true for me.
I think that's very, very inspiring. So since there's a little transparency here, I'm going to just use a little bit of a sales time, and I'm going to let you tell people about where they can find you and where they can find me. And why don't you first tell us about your book and about your website and what you, they can buy your book, right?
Well, yeah, it's available Barnes & Noble, all those other ones, you know, Amazon and all that stuff. It's available in all those places.
Well, tell us about your website and how we get find you.
Well, you can just go
or where
to
do you like to be found?
Well, just go to lovestruehome.com, L-O-V-E-S, you know, truehome.com. And from there, you can link to my blog, to my Twitter pages, to my Facebook pages, and to my SoundCloud, where I've got 62 audio recitals of my songs and poetry. It's all up there to listen to.
And then your fan page, you can link from there to there.
Yeah, if you go to lovestruehome.com, from there, you can link to every other place, every other where my presence is anywhere else on the internet.
Well,
how much time do we have left here, Renee?
We have about a few minutes. Why?
Because I want to do a little contemplation.
Okay, well, we can do that, but what about my contemplation too? I will forego my work for your contemplation today.
No. We don't want you foregoing anything.
So, no, that's all right. I'm all right with that. But I do want to tell people about the class that I'm offering next week, and then we'll do your contemplation, and people can go back to the passion, the purpose, and the prosperity to meet my wind meditation and my wind exercises. So, but let me just tell you, next week I'm launching a course called Creating Your Authentic Business Footprint, which is learning about how to use the energies of your own personality in divine alignment with your business ideas, and like Sri said, to do what you love and let the money follow. But we get you organized in a way so that by the time you're done, you're ready to launch your product and take it over to a graphic designer and to really bring it into fruition. So we take you from the energy of your business all the way up to the launch. And right now, I'm offering a free consultation with me at Renee@deserthealingarts.com or Renee@thepracticalshaman.com to find out if you're a fit for any of my programs. But the program itself is over at toolsforawakening.com/footprint_mastermind.
Sounds wonderful.
It's an amazing program. Lots of testimonies of people who have been through it, and they're really having life-changing experiences.
Well, I can tell the listeners out there that you definitely are a very practical shaman, and I think you have a lot of ideas, a lot of educational concepts, and a lot of good intent in what you preach, and I strongly support you.
Oh, thank you. I pay him to say that.
I want to raise.
That was my sense of humor. So all right. Why don't you do your contemplation?
It is a very short contemplation. I'll tell you why. I don't meditate. Meditation does not suit my character, my personality, my energy levels. So rather than trying to still my mind, I'll take an idea or a thought or a phrase or a song or something that I have that I feel really connected to, that really resonates in a loving way, and I'll take that and I'll let it reveal itself in all its splendor. If you can imagine a multifaceted atom just rotating and spinning, and every facet shows another quality or element of that particular thing that I'm focusing on. So this is a contemplation. And this contemplation is about your imagination. It's very short, but if you get the essence of it, and if you experience it in a way that I hope you do, you'll be able to see that you can apply this in any area of your life, personal or business. So here we go. Did you know that nothing whatsoever could be imagined unless it already exists? Thought is a reflective process. So close your eyes, and with your divine imagination, immerse yourself into the following scene. You're standing barefoot on soft, luxuriant green grass in a shimmering alpine meadow, high in the mountains, on a distant, exotic planet. Waves of rainbow colors undulate through the sky as wildflowers dance and sway, reaching for the heavens in a joyous celebration. A sweet heavenly aroma fills the air, saturating all of your senses. In the distance, a majestic grizzly bear casually lumbers along a whispering, meandering stream. Meadowlarks dart through the air like cosmic acrobats as a luminescent silver eagle soars high above in a crystalline azure sky. Three glorious suns drench your perfect body with rays of liquid golden love. It's beautiful, isn't it? Of course, we all imagine it differently. Since your eyes are closed, how is it that you can see this picture? It is your true self, soul, seeing with higher senses. This is a very small taste of who and what you truly are. This is your divine imagination, a gift from God which knows no bounds. You are the sun, the prism, and the rainbow. You are soul, eternal, a resplendent spiritual being, child of God, perfect and free. It's all up to you. Imagine the very best in your life and take the necessary steps to make your dreams a reality.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
That was great. I went right there. I was right there with my feet in the grass, the swaying grass, and I don't know, because I'm seeing so many. I have that multicolored rainbow Oreo cookie on my wall supporting equality in marriage today. So I saw that flag waving, and it felt like a really good thing. And the bear's always been one of my totems anyway, so it was very nice. Nicely stated. In fact, this whole meditation piece for me has come up this week a lot with, you know, what Janet said, and I think that I will be adding we do a vision quest in the work in the creating your authentic business brand. We do a 24-hour vision quest with people, but I think that this aspect of putting in a daily meditation into the process is a really important part. Whether I like to listen to Shawnee Lynn or something else, but I agree with you that we all meditate different. For me, one of mine is to go up and take a walk on the mountain.
Well, that's a beautiful way to do it. You know, I believe, I have learned, I don't believe it, I have learned that we are all children of God, and that love is a gift from God that we share with others, and we can learn to reach into our own spiritual hearts and share this love with other people, and that goes in business and in our personal lives. There really is, in that sense, there is no line of delineation. They're all the same. Life is a big experience, and as a business person, that's part of our life experience. And if we can take our everyday positive, loving attitudes and bring them into our business, then all will be well.
I think that's a great way to finish up this conversation today. And is that the final thought? You would like to leave people with a final thought?
That was the final thought. My final thought is thank you very much, Renee, for hosting this the 5 P's of socialpreneurs. I think it's a great idea, and the concept is one I think that more people are going to moving their consciousness into. It's a great idea, and thank you so much for hosting it. I really appreciate it.
And it was really great to have you here today, and everyone who's come here and joined in this series, please come over and join us over at Building Authentic Relationships on Facebook, the group, and I want to thank you all for taking part of this series. Have a great day.
May Spirit's love be with everybody and always.